take it personally. So he goes over there, takes the x-ray, comes back, sees the new x-ray, checks the new x-ray, he sees a perfect womb inside of the lady. He comes out and he says, I don't get it. I do not understand. Please get out of here. So she tells me the testimony. She says, Pastor, and you know what? Now I am pregnant with my new womb. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. This is what spiritual warfare does. Prayer opens the heavens. There used to be a beautiful old lady called Lydia Swain. She was a missionary from the U.S. to Korea. She came to Korea in 1964 and served as Dr. Cho's secretary for many, many years. Beautiful lady. So one day I'm sitting down with her over there in Seoul, Korea. We're just having some coffee, tea, whatever. And she's telling me, you know, this is before she retired. And she says, when I came here, the church had been praying from 58 to 64, every single day, around the clock, every single day. All of a sudden, the heavens opened. A miracle started to happen. She says, when I came in, they were already accustomed to miracles, to the point that Dr. Cho was preaching. And a man over there in the pew would stand up and start shouting, I was blind and I see! I was blind and I see! And people would say, shut up! He's preaching! The supernatural has become absolutely normal and usual. And that's what happens when the heavens are open. And that's what is happening to Australia. I'm prophesying by the power of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural will come in such a manner that it destroys the intellectual arguments. In my country, we have denominations that deny the power. No, the power is not for today. Baptism is not for today. Tongues, not for today. Gifts, not for today. And they were the big, big segment of Christianity. All of a sudden, these Protestants, very, very simple, no education, no big degrees, no big seminaries, but a lot of power of the Holy Spirit. That was wonderful. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! No big education, no big seminaries, no big degrees, but the simple gospel of Jesus Christ being preached brought the miracles of God. Today, a huge segment of Christianity in my nation believes in miracles, watches miracles every single service, every single day, not only in church, but also in the cell homes, in the home groups, all over the city. We are not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is power of God unto salvation of men, the Bible says. It is normal to go to a bank or a gas station or a supermarket, talk about God, offer the power of God, pray in front of everybody, and see a miracle in front of anyone. That is the way. That is the way the Spirit of grace will be absolutely overcome in this nation, because of the power of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we understood then that we start with spiritual mapping, discerning what we have. Then we go to spiritual warfare and we pray, intercession, prophetic intercession, so on and so forth. And then, you know what happened to us? This is funny. I used to have a wonderful brother in our congregation. They are now in the States. He's from Puerto Rico. Love him very, very much. One day he calls me. He says, hello, Pastor, how are you? Say hello. He says, did you hear about Pastor so-and-so? I say, yes. Did you hear they're growing? I say, yes. Did you hear about so-and-so church? I say, yes. Did you hear they're really growing? I say, yes. Did you hear about so-and-so? He says, how come we don't grow anymore? He really touched a very sensitive point, you know. And I understood the principle. We were doing lots of spiritual warfare, spiritual mapping, spiritual warfare. We were doing lots of spiritual warfare, praying around the clock, doing what we call 7 hours of power, I told you the other day, from 5 p.m. to 12 p.m. 7 hours of prayer for the nation, for the country, doing prophetic actions, several things, many, many things. But we had not organized for evangelism. Once I understood this, we took off from 2,800 people to, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000, whatever. We lost count, you know, because we couldn't keep up with that. But it was because we organized for evangelism. We organized in the sense of giving everybody an opportunity for evangelism. Now, we learned from spiritual mapping to spiritual warfare to evangelism. But very soon we understood evangelism was not enough either. Because the Lord didn't call us to make converts. The Lord called us to make disciples. So there was something missing there. Yes, we were making lots and lots and lots of numbers, numbers, numbers. People saved all over the place, all the time. But then we understood that the Lord spoke about discipleship, turning them into disciples and into disciplers. So we understood. But then the Lord spoke to us. Something happened in my nation. In my city, the mayor decided to do something very religious and appoint, in Catholicism, a virgin is very important. And there are many, many virgins. And there is one that is called Virgen de la Asunción, Assumption Virgin. And she is the, I don't even know how to say this in English, I guess this is the right way, the patron of the city. Okay, so the mayor decided to bring a procession from the church to the city hall and appoint her as perpetual mayoress of the city. So we raised up our voice and said, you don't have any right to do so. You never asked us, and we are the citizens. And we started a campaign, and we had a tremendous fight. As a result, the city sued us again. We had terrible legal problem, they wanted to put me in jail, it was a big, big thing. So anyway, one Sunday morning they came to church to arrest me. I don't want to enter into that, it was a big mess, big mess. Anyway, I had to go home, you know, I don't know if you use this or not, home arrest, you know, okay, so you're in your house for house arrest, okay? I had to stay in my home for 4 days because the judge gave me an appointment, an audience, for Thursday. So I wanted to go personally with our attorney, but being an attorney myself, I wanted to go to the meeting and I wanted to have an opportunity with the judge. So anyway, I stayed from Sunday till Thursday in my home, which you don't know, but for me it is a terrible sacrifice. I mean, to be 4 days without, it is very difficult. But I stayed home because I had to, and I had the most wonderful experience. The Lord Jesus Christ visited me, and it was a tremendous visit. He comes and he asks, so you really want the nation? I say, yes, Lord. So it's the second time. So you really want to take the nation? See? Yes, Lord. That's the vision. That's the mission of our life. This is the third time. He asks, so you really want to take Guatemala? I say, yes, Lord. That's the desire of, that's the goal of our life. So he says, I'll share with you the greatest weapon I will share with you the most potent weapon, the greatest tool to take a nation. I was waiting for the atomic bomb, you know. I mean, if he shows up in your living room and he says he's going to give you the tool to take your nation, I mean, I couldn't think of anything better in my whole life. My whole existence came to that particular moment of time. He says, this is the weapon, Christian education. I heard this. It took me a while to assimilate. We had had in our ministry a school for 10 years. But I gotta be honest, I never had the vision. It was my wife's, it was my sister-in-law's vision. It wasn't my vision. They carried the school. I never was involved. I never understood up to that moment. The Holy Spirit took me for days to understand this subject that Jesus spoke. He said, Christian education is the way to take a nation. He said this, every revival, if it doesn't take you to Christian education, if it's not taken to Christian education, is condemned to live only for one generation. I remembered, I went to preach in England. And when I went to England, these are very good friends of mine in Nottingham, I said, listen, I have a desire in my heart. I was deeply impacted by a book called Rhys Howell's Intercessor. So I have a dream. I wish I could go to Swansea in Wales and visit the school. I didn't expect this, but they talked to Samuel Howells. This is Rhys Howell's son, and Reverend Samuel calls and he says, we want to receive you, you come over, teach in the school, stay with me in the house. So I went for 2 days to Wales. It was a wonderful experience for me. And as I went over there, I went with two tremendous desires in my heart. Number one, of course, Rhys Howell's ministry that impacted my life. Number two, the second thing that had really impacted my life, I'm a fanatic of revivals, it was the revival of Wales. So for me to visit that land was a tremendous thing. So as we come in the train, and as we step out of the train in the station, we found Mr. Mayton, Mr. Howell's assistant. He picks us up, and we get into his car on the way to Swansea, to the school, and I see one of those beautiful church buildings that they have in England, you know, Church of England buildings, beautiful buildings, centuries old, you know. And I see one, I'm all excited of being there. And I see this building, and it says for sale. We see another one, and it says for rent, but they don't say for rent, they say to let. Right? And I said, what is this, you know? And then another one turned into a restaurant. Another one turned into a mosque. I was shocked. When we went by the stadium, the soccer stadium, I was absolutely shocked. So this brother turns to me, I say, what's the percentage of believers in this city or this place? He says, 1%. In 90 years, they have gone from one of the most wonderful revivals to 1%. You tell me why. I will tell you why. Because they didn't pass it to the next generation. My example, my next illustration is about to be too old in some months here in the city of Sydney. Because it comes from the last Olympic Games. During the last Olympic Games, the 10th gentleman, only 10 in human history have done this, ran the 100 meters before 10 seconds. It's almost unbelievable that they run 10 meters in less than a second. It is something incredible almost. But this gentleman runs, and wins, breaks the record again, and wins the gold medal. He ran 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. The fastest human being on Earth. He gets his gold medal, but something happens 2 or 3 days later when the 4x4, is that the name of the race? 400 meters? Four men with a, how do you call it? Relay? And what is it that they pass the button? Okay? So they are running, and there's one of the runners who runs faster than the fastest human being on Earth. Why? Because they have already started when they get the button. This is a wonderful example of what we do or don't do. When we do not bring Christian education to our ministry, and we don't take care of the children, and we don't take care of the other generation, the next generation, we are starting from zero. But when we pass the baton to the next generation, they can run faster and go farther than we did. The mistake of the evangelical church is we only pay attention to the present and the past generation, and we do not pay attention to the future generation. Christian education is the most powerful weapon to take a country, to take a nation for God. I understood this, it changed my life. I went to look for a man who is called in America the apostle of Christian education. Made an appointment with him, he was going to Mexico, I went to Mexico. We sat down for some coffee. He says, what are you doing here, Pastor? I told him, the Lord spoke to me. Jesus gave me a revelation about Christian education. I'm looking for you. I need your help to take my nation. You know what he answers? He says, I have been waiting for you 5 years. We started working. Our school has been blessed in such a tremendous way. We have had this school for 14 years now. 4 years ago, it was when I got this revelation. I've been working with our kids. We have currently 530 students in the school. This year, we couldn't get more because we didn't have the space, we didn't have the room for that, we didn't have the facilities. And in the month of December, one of the best free schools in the country had to close one of their campus, brand new campus, and they sold it to us. And I bought this beautiful school just 10 months ago. As a matter of fact, we dedicated it to the Lord, and the students moved last Friday. We had our dedication service last Friday. It is absolutely wonderful. But let me tell you, when these kids, small children, have their devotional, their chapel, we would call it a chapel, they start 7:45 in the morning. Very often, it's 2:45, and they are still there, enjoying the presence of the Lord, totally drunk in the Spirit, healing every sick person, and just showing the power of the Lord. My daughter was 7 years old one day when she came and was having lunch. She comes to me and says, hello, Dad. I say, hello. She says, I want to tell you what happened in our classroom today. I said, what happened, dear? She says, a demon manifested. I stopped eating. I say, what? And she says, a demon manifested. I said, what did you do? And she says, how do you ask me what did we do? We cast it out in Jesus' name. Every year I give a class, I teach a class on Christian philosophy to the students of the last year of high school. And afterwards we have at the end of the year, the school year, we have a retreat. And basically the retreat deals with, what are you going to study? What are you going to do in life? Okay, well, 5 years ago, yeah, I guess this is the 50th year, yes. We have this retreat 40 years ago, okay. We have this retreat, and I asked this young man, I said, well, Juan Pablo, what are you going to study? I said, well, you know, Pastor, I'm going to be the president of this nation, so I will study law. Let me tell you, this young man is in his fifth year in my country. He used 25 years to become an attorney. And he's in his fifth year in school, the last year in school. His grandfather became the head of Congress in my country. And he was appointed, he's only a young man, in his last year in law school, he was appointed as the president of the National Youth Council in my country. Now, you gotta realize that Guatemala has 50% of its population is 15 years old or younger. So youth is a huge segment of the nation. And he was appointed as the president of the National Council, the National Youth Council for the country. You know what he did? First thing he did, he came back to school to recruit the head of the spiritual department of the school and take her to work with him. And now the whole youth program in my country has a Christian curriculum. So we go from spiritual mapping to spiritual warfare, to evangelism and discipleship, Christian education, in order to have the transformation, the reform of the whole nation. The goal is Jesus is Lord of Guatemala. And that means the Lordship of Christ brought upon a society. This is our testimony. I'm not saying this is the way it has to be. I am just telling you this is the way he has shown us. And we have been working in this, and we have seen a tremendous transformation in every area of our society. Certainly, Jesus will be Lord of every Guatemalan. That's our vision. And you know, I want to finish with this. This is our dream for your country. This is our dream for Australia. I am persuaded, I am convinced, the Lord is seeking men and women of God, looking for people who will raise up an answer to his commission, to his will for this nation. I believe this generation will see a change in the spiritual atmosphere over Australia. You will see the power of God manifest in this nation. We will see the spirit of grief broken over this nation in Jesus' name. I will invite you to stand up and join me for prayer. We will pray for Australia and we finish. I present you a challenge on behalf of the Lord. Father, we pray for this nation, Australia. Father, we ask you to come with power and break the power of the spirit of Greece upon this nation. Father, we take Australia and lay it on your altar. We understand there is a great strategy of the enemy through the Olympic Games to enthrone permanently the spirit of Greece upon this nation. But Father, as your ambassadors, as your representatives, with the authority that has been given unto us by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, today we decree that we do not accept the enthroning of the Prince of Greece upon Australia. We break his power in the name of Jesus. We say, Prince of Greece, come down in the name of Jesus. Be broken in the name of Jesus and be cast out of Australia in the glory, holy name of Jesus. We take authority over the devil, we take authority over the enemy, we take authority over the Prince of Greece and his companions, we take authority over the Queen of Heaven in the name of Jesus, in the glorious holy name of Jesus. We decree, we establish that Australia will be a nation for Christ, that this will be a Christian nation. Father, we commit our lives unto your hands. And this is the challenge. And this is the challenge I want to present to you. God is looking for men and women of God who commit their lives to His vision for this nation and His commission for this nation. If you want to enter into a covenant, serious covenant, with the Lord regarding your nation, raise up your hand and pray with me as follows. Father, in Jesus' name, we enter into a covenant. We commit our lives for your vision, for your dream, for your commission, for Australia. Father, we are going to do whatever it takes, whatever you ask from us, for the healing, for the redemption, and for the salvation of Australia and every Australian. In Jesus' name we ask you, deliver your power, deliver your revelation, deliver your anointing unto us, Lord, so we can fulfill this dream, this vision, a new Australia, a Christian Australia, a saved nation, for your glory, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
What do you say? I think the Lord said it all, hasn't he? Thank you, Pastor Harold, so much for being with us. You're a man sent from God. A man sent from God, his name is Harold. And we just so much appreciate it and thank the Lord for you and thank you for being obedient to come and share with us. And for any who would like to see what God's doing in Guatemala and Increase Division, there's a big conference and gathering that is happening at the last week of October, and I think God is calling some of us to get there, and if God lays it on your heart, let us know, and we'll give you details and information about that. It would be great to take a team across there, wouldn't it? That'd be great. Well, what a great time we had with the Lord. A great time. Lord, as we go tonight, we just thank you for being present with us. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in each of our lives over this last week. Lord, it's been awesome. You have led us into your presence more deeply. You've shown us your way in prayer. You've ministered to our hearts. And Lord, you've opened up for us a vision of what's on your heart for us and for this nation. Lord, you've done so much in just a few days. And Lord, I thank you that we will never be the same again because you have impacted our lives. Lord, I pray for your protection, that the enemy would not come and take away the word which has been sown in our hearts. But Lord, that you would cause that seed which has come into our hearts to germinate and to spring forth and to grow, that by your Spirit you would work mightily in and through each one of us so that all that is on your heart for us together and individually will be accomplished for your glory. And Lord, we give ourselves to you for that end. And Lord, bless Pastor Harold and the ministry that you've given to him. Lord, we thank you that you are going to bring Guatemala to Christ. That Jesus will be Lord of that nation. We thank you that Jesus will be Lord of Australia. And Lord, just increase the ministry in Guatemala and throughout the world. Minister powerfully and mightily, Lord. That you would multiply what you are doing right around the globe. So that the great harvest of souls that's on your heart would be just wonderfully fulfilled. Thank you, Lord. Lord, now we give ourselves to you. We're yours, Lord. Lord, this is a new week. And Lord, as we go as lights into a dark world tomorrow. And Lord, we are committed to shine for you. That you would live and shine through us. That every person that we meet would see Jesus living in us. Lord, thank you for what you're going to accomplish for your glory and for your kingdom this week as we walk with you. Go with us now, give us safe travel home, give us a great night's rest. We just thank you for who you are. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Well, Lord, be with you all and bless you all and just have a